Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yep, that's where he's taking you. So Obama's not being invited to show up at U.S. Senate campaigns. He is a toxic president. He's become the third rail of the Democrat Party. And we're all expecting the Democrats to lose control of the U.S. Senate just 2 weeks from tomorrow. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow, and it leads to a pregnant question. In my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, which is it's a raging bestseller, yet it can't be found in many bookstores. We'll talk about that in a moment. My main thesis is that to avoid a civil war, we have to throw out everyone with a D next to their name. And this has become a controversial conclusion. In order to stop the coming insurrections in this country, there's only one hope, and that hope is to vote in Republicans. And what is interesting here is that many people say, but Mike, come on. The Republicans are lackluster. They're middle of the road. They're not going to do what we want. They're in collusion with the Democrats. What's the point? If you take that attitude, I can guarantee you we'll lose the country. I can guarantee you if you take the party line being put out by many in the conservative media, that, well, the Republicans are not any good. So what's the alternative? There is no third party. A year ago, I called for a nationalist party. But we're talking many years away before such a nationalist party can be formulated and have any chance to win other than throw the election to the Democrat Socialist Islamists. So I'm asking you something. I want to read you something. It's page 260 of Stop the Coming Civil War. It's literally near the conclusion. We must have someone in office after 2016 who can and will issue executive orders that reverse the damage that Obama's executive orders have done. Someone who can purge every last radical Obama appointee. We must find a way to replace them, not with Republican knee-jerkers, but with traditionalists and nationalists if we are to save the nation. Americans are crying for a return to patriotism and nationalism, the same kind of national pride we once had in this country. And then if you go to the end of the book, I say our only chance here is to elect Republicans in the place of Democrats. But why do I say that? Many people are confused. They think by sitting out the election, you're going to get something. You're going to get nothing but more of the same. You're going to get more of Obama's executive orders. You're going to get a country flooded with third worlders who will never become Americans. And so, therefore, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you intend to make the same mistake many of you made in 2012 and sit out this election? Are you actually going to do that again? But here's another question. Here's another question. How is it that although my book, which is the rage of people in America with a mind, calls for electing Republicans, not a single Republican politician, not a single Republican operative, not a single Republican cell in the United States of America has contacted me, Michael Savage, and said, Savage, we want to help you with this book because you're helping us. What does that tell you about the Republican Party? And on another note, while you're thinking about that campaign, I want to talk with you about the disaster of Obama and his handling, or shall I say mishandling, of Ebola, which is why I named him President Ebola. This is Obama's Katrina. There's no question about it. This is the equivalent of George Bush's Katrina moment. It's exactly the same thing. And the equivalent of the head of FEMA under Bush is Tom Frieden, M.D., and Tom Frieden needs to go. He needs to be fired. Tom Frieden was caught flat-footed. He's a holdover from the AIDS epidemic. He's trying to put forth the same protocols that they used in the AIDS epidemic, in the Ebola epidemic, but he's making a huge error because they're two different viruses and the transmission is much different in the two diseases. You must understand that we have a dangerous situation here. Only a travel ban will stop the Ebola virus from spreading. That's the only thing that will stop the spread. How do I know that's true? Because in Africa, they've done it, and it's worked. In America, we're not doing it because of the left-wing fanatics who are running this country. Do you know that right now, 72 Republicans and 11 Democrats favor a travel ban from West Africa? And even the Hill website said Obama should deny entry to people traveling from Ebola-stricken countries and impose a period of quarantine on those suspected of being exposed to the disease. Doesn't that make sense? Do you understand that quarantines and travel bans helped curb cholera outbreaks in New York in the mid-19th century? Did you know that? That people were quarantined when they came off ships that had cholera, as I reported? Did you know that we had tough quarantine laws and tough inspections at every entry point in America? Why is it that I, as a trained epidemiologist, am not being listened to by this government or even by the Republican Party, but only by my own listeners? I've told you that the first rule of epidemiology, which everyone's quoting who knows that I know what I'm talking about, is that you keep sick people away from healthy people. It's that simple. And if we don't put in a travel ban, if we don't quarantine infected individuals from the third world, what's going to happen is that this will become an epidemic that is out of control. And it will become as regular in our society as HIV/AIDS. It can be stopped now. But unless they act now, this can get out of control. And yet in the midst of all of this, Obama tries to put out the false message that this is already under control. Listen to clip number one on the Savage Nation.
Meeting a public health challenge like this isn't just a job for government. All of us, citizens, leaders, the media, have a responsibility and a role to play. This is a serious disease, but we can't give in to hysteria or fear, because that only makes it harder to get people the accurate information they need. We have to be guided by the science.
The science? Now, who is running this science, Mr. Obama? I would say you're putting out these false pablums to the American people is as hysterical as it gets. And I will tell you that your head of the CDC has disqualified himself virtually every day. Did you know that this weekend, Frieden, your choice to head the CDC, told this to reporters? He said, quote, "I'm not familiar with any prior patient with Ebola who has undergone either intubation or dialysis." And then he said that such measures could have increased the risk of contamination surrounding Duncan's care in Dallas. That's Obama's Frieden. Was Frieden aware that Emory University Hospital in Atlanta used both measures in its treatment of Ebola patients? No, he wasn't. Frieden knows nothing about Ebola. He is the problem, not the solution. And I would say that the president is putting out hysteria by putting out false information, and I will not be silenced. That was a subtle threat to those of us in the media who are putting out real information on Ebola. He's saying people in the media have a responsibility and a role to play. I would agree with you, Mr. Obama. But if your head of the CDC doesn't even know what he's talking about, then it's my responsibility to present the American people with the facts and let them make up their own mind. Listen to the next lie in clip number two on the Savage Nation.
What we're seeing now is not an outbreak or an epidemic of Ebola in America.
Stop right there.
We're a nation of more than...
Stop right there. He's again distorting reality. The first rule of epidemics, which I've studied for 30 years, is that they begin with one case. They don't begin with 10,000 cases. An epidemic or an outbreak begins with one person, and if that's not controlled, that's how it metastasizes. Apparently, Obama's not getting the right information in between his putting. Play the whole of clip two and you listen to the distortion of the hysterical president.
What we're seeing now is not an outbreak or an epidemic of Ebola in America.
Not yet.
We're a nation of more than 300 million people.
Oh, okay.
To date, we've seen three cases of Ebola diagnosed here.
Because you let the African in.
The disease in Liberia came here and sadly died.
He shouldn't have been here. He committed a crime.
Who were infected while they were treating him. Our thoughts and prayers are with them.
What
prayers? We can to give them the best care possible.
You know, I can't take any more of this. He should understand that all epidemics begin with one case. That's number one. At the same time this is going on, he is secretly preparing a surge of millions of new immigrants by having put out an RFP, a request for proposals, issued by the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, for vendors to produce a surge scenario of 9 million ID cards, meaning green cards, in 1 year, quote, to support possible future immigration reform initiative requirements. This means that our lawless president is getting ready right after the election to grant green cards by the millions. And at the same time he's doing that, they're issuing visas by the hundreds to Liberians as we speak. At the same time, he's getting ready to issue green cards to Haitians. And in case you don't know it, Haiti is a place where, unfortunately, tuberculosis is endemic. Why would he be bringing in Haitians, many of whom are infected, after bringing in many Central American children who were infected with ED68 and other illnesses? Why is he bringing in Liberians and Haitians and infected Central Americans? Why is he doing this? There's only one conclusion to this, and it's a sad one and an ugly one. And that is that the psychotics running the Democrat Party are looking to the future and they're saying, you know what? The white people are on to us. I know you don't want to hear this. I know it's an uncomfortable statement. We'll bring in as many non-European, third worlders, preferably who don't speak English, as we can before 2016 to skew the election and to remain in power for at least 100 years. This is how ugly this party has become. The Democrat Party is a party of criminality. It's a party of deceit. Forget about the word socialism. Throw that in the dustbin of history. Put the correct word in front of it. Criminality. The problem is we don't have an opposition voice. There are a few still small voices out there, and I'm one of them. And I have to keep telling you the way I see it. If you care to comment on anything that I'm saying, pro or con, whether you agree with me that Obama doesn't know Ebola from Shinola, the phone number is 855-407-2282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Ebola is actually a difficult disease to catch.
Nonsense.
It's not transmitted through the air like the flu.
We don't know
that.
You
cannot get it from just riding on a plane or a bus.
Yes, you can.
The only way that a person can contract the disease is by coming into direct contact with the bodily fluids of somebody who is already showing symptoms.
Wrong. Again, he's lying. He's putting out misinformation. He's in a panic mode. He's hysterical. He says that you can't get it from just riding on a plane or a bus. But on Friday, a bus was quarantined on Virginia Avenue in the Capitol Hill area of Washington, D.C. because of an Ebola false alarm, but they quarantined an entire bus. You see, the bus was carrying a group of Marines and family members from the Pentagon to a ceremony supposed to take place at the Marine Barracks on Capitol Hill. And while it was sitting in a Pentagon parking lot, a woman boarded the bus and went into the restroom. She then exited the bus and vomited. She then said she had recently visited Africa. Well, the bus departed from the Marine Barracks, but the woman was brought to Inova Fairfax Hospital as a suspected Ebola victim. Meanwhile, the entire south parking lot of the Pentagon was closed down. And when this bus approached the Marine Barracks, it was quarantined. Okay, that's very wise. It's very wise. In fact, it gets even better, Mr. Obama. So-called health officials instructed passengers on this bus to monitor their temperature for 21 days. Well, later on in the day, so-called health officials determined the woman did not have Ebola. So again, Obama repeats the lie on Sunday this time that he had said you can't get Ebola on public transportation. Well, that's not true. It's just not true. We don't know if you can or you cannot. Do they understand what's actually going on in Africa? Would you sit next to someone on a bus who might have Ebola? I wouldn't sit next to anyone on a bus who has the flu, let alone Ebola. If I'm sitting in a movie theater and I hear someone cough, I get up and move five rows away. What, do you think I'm crazy or a germaphobe? It's common sense. How do you think a person stays healthy? By avoiding people who are sick. And so for these people to be putting out the big lie that you can't get it except by basically hugging and kissing an active Ebola patient is not fair to the American people. This is a very, very dangerous time to be living in with such lies. Only a travel ban can stop the Ebola virus from spreading. Everybody knows that. I'm the first one in the media to have said that. I'm the only one in the American radio media to have an actual PhD, which is in part in epidemiology. Write that down. Write it down because I don't care what else you've heard about Michael Savage. That you better hear correctly. And you know what? I'm not going to hide my credentials just because it makes you uncomfortable. I know more about epidemics than Bill Maher and that creep on television who pretends to be a comedian, but he's a government jester. They're all government jesters making it into a big joke. But you know what? Listen to who you wish at your own risk. We need to close the borders now, right now. We need to stop all travel from Western Africa. We need to slam shut the green card system. There are so many things that need to be done. 30 African nations have banned travel from these Ebola-stricken nations. And Nigeria is a success story. Not one case reported in Nigeria because they got on top of the disease because they didn't listen to the liars in the United States of American government. United States of America government. They're liars. And it wouldn't be bad if this was more of the same lying about money, lying about voters, lying about... They're now lying where they're putting all of our survival at risk, in my opinion. Okay, do you understand this? You see, Ebola wasn't in America until Obama permitted it to enter America. Now, he didn't knowingly invite patient zero in from Liberia, but he may as well have sent them a one-way ticket. Why do I say that? Because if we had had a travel ban in place before, this patient from Liberia would not have been allowed to enter this country. Or he would have been quarantined if he had gotten here for 21 days or more once he arrived from Liberia. But because Obama has extended a welcome mat to every third worlder to come in as quickly as they can, get on welfare, and vote Democrat, socialist, Islamist, that's why the welcome mat has been put out. He's transforming America into a horrible place. He's not transforming it into a better place. He's transforming it into a terrible place, a worse place than you could ever imagine. If you've always wanted to live in a third world slum, you couldn't do better than vote for a Democrat come 2 weeks from today. Why do I say that? Because the Democrat hustlers are bringing in third worlders as quickly as they can. Maybe not in time for the midterm elections, but the big kahuna is 2016, when you know who's going to run, don't you? Hillary Clinton, who's been awfully silent on the third world entry into this country, with or without Ebola, with or without ED68. Because remember, every third worlder that comes here, every one of them, will vote D. That means vote Hillary. They may as well vote H. H or D will be the same thing. They're setting it up for Hillary's run. They don't care what they do to the health of the nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Can't just cut ourselves off from West Africa, where this disease is raging.
Of course we
can. Our medical experts tell us that the best way to stop this disease is to stop it at its source.
What experts? The idiots who don't know anything about the disease?
Even more difficult to contain.
Nonsense.
Trying to seal off an entire region of the world, if that were even possible, could actually make the situation worse.
It's a complete lie. He's a liar from... Stop. It's such a lie, it gets me angry. I don't want to be angry. African nations adjacent to these infected nations have sealed them off. So what is he talking about? Do you realize this man may not be capable of telling the truth about anything? Do you realize he's a serial liar? Do you realize that right now our health is in danger here? And the chief executive of the United States is lying through his teeth? Does he know he's lying? This is the same garbage I heard during the AIDS years. It's the same rhetoric. It's the same rhetoric put out by the same characters who he's had in place from the day he started. They're running us off the rails here. What do you mean you can't close off an entire area? It was done in the past. It's being done right now by African nations. What is he talking about? It would make it harder to move health workers back and forth? Rubbish! What do you mean harder? How much harder is it? We make it easier. Let's say you don't have hundreds of thousands of people flying back and forth, and you have a fewer amount of people flying in and out, health workers, so you can monitor them better. The opposite is true. This man is so over his head that it is his Katrina moment, which is why the Democrat Party is in free fall, why it's collapsing. Do you understand this? His bungling is destroying every ounce of credibility he ever had with anybody. Yes, we should stop Ebola in West Africa. Yes, we should help them. I didn't say that. But to keep putting out this hysterical lie that we can't impose a travel ban is a mark of utter stupidity, and it's in reverse of everything that's ever been done in the case of an epidemic before. an epidemic like this before. And you know who's at greatest risk? Firemen, first responders, pilots, flight attendants. He's putting them all at risk by not doing a travel ban. Do you know that every day JFK admits 100 to 150 travelers from Western Africa? Can you believe this? Can you believe they ask them to tell whether or not they've been infected or been in an infected region? Ground Zero, Patient Zero, Thomas Duncan, the first Texas Ebola victim who came here illegally from Western Africa, did not show any symptoms for about a week after his arrival, but you and I both know he came here because he knew he had been exposed to the Ebola virus, and he came here knowing that, and he came here because he wanted free medical treatment. And what has Obama done? He's appointed a new Ebola czar, a backroom boilerplate fixer, Ron Klain. What a czar. What a czar. The man has no medical training whatsoever, unless there's some equipping on the internet, the overuse, let's say, of Viagra and having to see a doctor for something that lasted longer than 36 hours. I think that's the closest he may have come to a medical experience in the recent past. A czar? Why would you pick someone who knows nothing about Ebola? Why would he pick someone like this? There's only one reason. It's not window dressing. It's because there are billions of dollars in slush funds that are going to be spent on Ebola, and they want to make sure it all goes into the hands of cronies. It's right out of Boardwalk Empire. It's a bunch of corrupt politicians who are over their head, only now it's not just about whiskey. Now it's about a killer illness, and they're incompetent. And as I reported on the show last week, not only are the individuals running this epidemic running it wrongly, the terrorists who were allegedly fighting, the ISIS terrorists, can easily infect martyrs and fly them into America from Western Africa because of Obama's open-door policy. Now, envision what might happen if one of these terrorists goes to a crowded mall or theater, God forbid, or goes to an open-air coliseum during a ball game and explodes himself with a suicide vest. You don't want to hear it? Okay, don't hear it. And his virus is then spewed all over the atmosphere of that stadium. Do you have any idea what risk we are at because of the bungling fool in the White House and the corrupt party around him? Do you understand the American people can only take so much and then they're going to snap? I've been trying to warn you about this, but some of you hear it and some of you have your head in the sand. Here's an email I just got today from one of my sponsors, and he said, Michael, this came to me from a listener. He said, I still cannot get Michael's book, Stop the Coming Civil War, from bookstores in Northern Virginia because they won't sell it. Three stores in Northern Virginia said they could order it, but delivery would take a long time, probably not until after the election. This is not the first report, he said, we've gotten from the Virginia area. Why? He said they're banning or burning your book by not allowing the public to take their hard-earned money and engage in commerce and buy a product that you offer. This has to be a violation of interstate commerce laws. You know, sure it has to be. They're a step away from burning books in America. Do you know that Obama could get up and say that in order to prevent panic and hysteria, I'm banning the discussion of Ebola by anyone in the media? And here's the executive order I passed last night in the toilet after I had a party in the White House for another rap star. Here's my edict. You don't like it? Screw you. Do something about it. And John Boehner would do what? Run into the cloakroom and shake and have another drink? It's frightening, isn't it? What's to stop him from doing that? And what would you do about that? All right, look, I've given you my opinion on Ebola. There are many other stories, and I haven't gotten to some of them to bother me. The issue in Ferguson, Missouri is very, very troubling because the cop who was beaten by the guy who got shot and had great damage to his eye socket went before a grand jury. And the grand jury report said that the cop pulled the trigger in self-defense, that they found the blood of the victim all over the cop and inside of his car. The New York Times reported Friday that Mr. Wilson, the officer, told federal officials who were trying to hang him that the 18-year-old child shoved him into his SUV and grabbed for his gun on August 9th. But the worst race hustler in American history should be arrested for trying to yell fire in a crowded theater one of the worst people on the planet, Al Sharpton, said he doesn't care what the grand jury says. He wants the cop tried for murder. In other words, he wants a lynch mob. In other words, Al Sharpton wants a lynch mob. How do you feel about that? Al Sharpton, the race hustler, says it's imperative that we let them know that we are not going to allow anything but a fair and just hearing of the evidence, meaning the evidence be damned. We want a hanging. We want a lynch mob outside that jail. We want Officer Wilson to fry. How do you feel living in a country like this, where a man as low as Al Sharpton could be invited into the White House so many times over the last several years? How do you feel about an administration that embraces such a degenerate lowlife as this and uses him for advice, even the advice of who to appoint as attorney general? How do you feel about him trying to usurp the grand jury evidence and say we don't care what the hell the evidence is, we want that cop to fry? How do you feel about that? Are you glad to be living in America under Al Sharpton? Because that's what you're living under. How'd that work out for you? All that talk about minorities, when they had power, there'd be fairness. How does it feel to be living in a country seeing what's happening now that we have minorities running America? Is it a more fair country or a less fair country? Is there greater justice or less justice? Do you feel safer or less safe? I'll say it again. We were told that when minorities took over, we'd have a better country, a safer country, a fairer country. Do we? How do you feel about that? Do you feel safer and fairer under Obama and Al Sharpton? Because that's what you have. I'm a man who believes in America's fundamentals, its borders, language, and culture. And I will tell you that Obama has destroyed our borders with South America and Mexico for one reason only, and that's to build up the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist voter base. He has destroyed our language by turning America into a polyglot nation where you can vote in 16 different languages. He has referred to our culture not once. There is no culture to Obama. It's only the culture of raw power. So that's it. That's how I see it. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad tidings. You know, it's almost a quarter minutes to the hour, quarter to the hour here. I think we should play Blue Monday for the audience because I haven't played it. I played Highway to You Nowhere. Let's play Blue Monday instead, Robert. Let's just play it now.
Blue Monday. How are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time.
We got the picture. Thanks, Fats. Still a great song. Still love it. Still a great song. I still love it. So what else is in the news? Oh, did you miss this little story? This little one didn't make it to your local newspaper. Came out over the weekend. Actually, just came out a little while ago that Obama's going to bypass Congress. He is bypassing Congress right now. I couldn't believe the story. I almost jumped out of my skin. It was in Newsmax this morning. The New York Times is reporting that Obama's going to bypass Congress on easing of nuclear sanctions of Iran. How can any Jew who supports Israel ever vote for a Democrat? I don't understand it. I can't understand liberal Jews. I don't understand them. I don't understand them. How could you ever vote for this man or a Democrat again and support Israel when he's undercutting Israel at every turn? Remember what Iran is on record as saying, that they want to destroy Israel. Remember Ahmadinejad? Doesn't matter that he's gone away. Iran's official policy is to destroy the Zionist state. So now Obama is going to bypass Congress on easing of Iran's nuclear sanctions. Well, that's getting even New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, upset. Did you hear this? Congress is going to be overridden by the dictator right in front of your eyes. Meanwhile, the Treasury Department, according to the New York Times, has concluded that Mr. O has the authority to suspend the vast majority of those sanctions against Iran without seeking a vote by Congress, close quote. The Treasury Department? You mean the stooge that they put into the Treasury Department? That's an authority now? This is right out of Boardwalk Empire, where a gangster took over, let's say, Atlantic City. And then the gangster put someone in the city council who did his bidding. And put someone in the city treasury office who did his bidding. And put someone in this office who did his bidding. And he was so successful at it that he was then made governor of New Jersey. I'm giving you a fictional account. And then he did the same corrupt thing at the level of the state. And he was so good at corrupting the state of New Jersey that he was then able to do it to the federal government. And so he appoints an attorney general who does his bidding, and a treasury official who does his bidding, and an IRS criminal who does his bidding. And before long, a gang is running the United States of America. How different is this than the fictional HBO show Boardwalk Empire? What the hell has to happen for the American people to wake up to see what's going on right in front of their eyes? You know, it's one thing to say that's the way politics are. It's always been that way. They're all the same. They're all corrupt. What else is new? That's all well and good. Until we have a killer epidemic and you see that this corrupt gang would rather bury a nation than give up a shred of power. And I stand by those words. They'd rather bury a nation than give up a shred, a scintilla of power. And that goes back to Lord Acton's statement. Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You are looking at the most absolutely corrupted president in American history. It's worse than it was in my entire life. I've never seen anything like it. Look, it's given that everyone who becomes a president is a power mad psychotic. We understand that. Who else would run for this office but a lunatic who needs people bowing to them? You know, someone said to me, do you have any idea what a bureaucrat is? I said, no, I could never be one. I work alone. I have a studio in Dallas where I see them on a Skype screen. I basically have contact with no one. They said, do you have any understanding of what a bureaucrat is, that they like to have people coming and asking them and begging them for favors, that they get off on it, that their entire ego is so shattered and frail that the only thing that gives them a sense of worth is having somebody beg them for something? I said, no, I don't understand it. It's alien to me. They said, unless you understand how psychotic most power-mad people are, you don't understand government. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
As I've said before, fighting this disease will take time. Before this is over, we may see more isolated cases here in America. But we know how to wage this fight.
No, you
don't.
If
we take the steps that are necessary, if we're guided by the science, the facts,
you mean the science
fear,
fiction being put out by the others?
I'm absolutely confident that we can prevent a serious outbreak.
I heard it. You mean the science fiction being put out by Tom Frieden? You mean the science fiction being put out by your Ebola czar? You mean the science fiction being put out by your administration? Are there any grown-ups who actually work for the Obama administration? I don't understand how you can't see through this. But look, many of you say, look, Mike, we know all of this. We know how bad he is. We know he's not competent at any speed. We know that he's a liar. We know that he's out for naked power. We know that. So what do you want us to do about it? I can pretty much tell you what you can do about it. WJR, Lisa, welcome to the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Yes, Michael, I just wanted to let you know that I have not been able to get your book from Barnes & Noble in Michigan, particularly.
You know, I'm getting very upset that I'm hearing this from around the country, that Barnes & Noble, which allegedly says they're distributing the book, doesn't have it in so many places. You mean they don't even have it in stock, even though it's made it to the bestseller list?
Yes, I went the very first day that it went on sale. They did not have it. I've been going back ever since and calling.
Well, you know, here's an example. I've talked to my publisher till I'm blue in the face. And I said, you know, listeners only have so much patience and so much time. What do you want them to do? They go in once, they're loyal, they go back twice, and then you've lost the customer forever. All you can do right now is go to BarnesandNoble.com and order your copy, Lisa. You'll probably get it in a few days.
I did order it. I ordered it on the 17th.
Target has the book, I'm being told. Other bookstores have it, but there's a breakdown somewhere in the B&N chain. And I don't know where, I don't know why. And I want to thank you for reporting. I don't want to turn my whole show into this complaint about it, but there's something wrong with a book that's this important, that makes it the 5 bestseller list after being on out for only a week, and that it's buried immediately by a major chain in the publishing business. Do you agree that we must vote Republican in 2 weeks? Do you think that that's the only solution? What else do you want to talk about? I may move on to some other topics. There are many other topics I want to talk about. I may even talk about Kennewick Man. I know you don't know what Kennewick Man is. It's an interesting story about who the first occupants were of North America. It's a fabulous example of real science as opposed to the ethnic terrorism that's going on inside our universities. Ethno-terrorism, where they didn't want to know that the first inhabitants were not Native American in the sense of Indian tribes. It may have been someone else. They tried to bury the skeleton. Did you know that story? I'll tell you about Kennewick Man when I return to the Savage Nation. And yes, he voted for...
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And now, because the southern border is not being protected, one has to wonder whether this sudden surge of illegal alien children, along with the normal numbers of illegal aliens coming into America, might have contributed to the spread of this disease, which heretofore was not very widespread in the United States of America. So all of it's tied together.
Is he the worst president in history or the best president in history? Or something like that. I saw an article from CNN that, of course, you know, CNN, you dismiss it automatically, but I had to read it to you. It says Obama, one very successful president, ? And they try to argue that in the long reach of history, he'll be looked back upon as a great, great president. And who was it written by? The Kvetch Krugman. Krugman, the so-called prize-winning economist Krugman, a lifetime socialist, says that in the long, long history, he'll be a great, great president. And he wrote an article for the reliable science publication called Rolling Stone. And Rolling Stone, the reliable science publication, argues through Krugman that this administration has done a pretty good job overall. And here's what so-called Krugman writes. Despite bitter opposition, despite having come close to self-inflicted disaster, Obama has emerged as one of the most consequential and, yes, successful presidents in American history. That's his report card. Now, if you consider spying on all Americans, targeting Americans through the Internal Revenue Service, as marks of a great president from the point of view of a totalitarian president, I would say he might be right. But what has Obama done that makes him such a great president? Well, they look at Obamacare and they say in the long run that's going to be great. You look at Ebola, you could say, well, if you wanted to infect the nation, you couldn't have done a better job than leave the borders open. So if your legacy is that of weakening America and turning it into another third world cesspool, which is apparently what the left wants this country to become, you would say that he's taken some giant steps during his presidency. I mean, the Affordable Care Act is just wonderful to make people pay for your illness. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't that be great? If you can make everyone in America who keeps themselves healthy to pay for those who are either unfortunately unhealthy or become unhealthy or in an accident or just, let's say, leading horrible lifestyles and make themselves unhealthy. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so there are other great things that Obama's done, according to them, which I don't know what the list is. I guess the economics, they say, is all due to him. And so they end this article by saying, so Krugman has put forth an enormously important argument, but it's just too early to tell his early report card of Obama is correct. We need much more time to see what happens with the next administration, as well as what comes after, before we can really start to make clear judgments as to whether Obama's accomplishments were historic, or whether he ends up being remembered as an average president. My goodness. How about a corrupt oligarch? Would that work for you? How about someone who overrode Congress? Would that work for you? How about the most corrupt and divisive president in American history? Are you people crazy? Yeah, I think they are. Liberalism is a mental disorder. But the problem is, where are the intelligent leftists in America? Where have they gone? Where are the liberals who used to say, I may not agree with you, but I would defend your right to say it with my life? Where have they gone? Why have they all become such Nazi fascists? Why? Why are they trying to impose their fascism on all of us? Why? Expelled Nazis were paid millions in Social Security. Did you hear about that? Pope Francis says God is not afraid of new things. How would he know that? Wait a minute. Let me look back on that one. I can't get to that one. It jumped back on WND. God is not afraid of new things. How would he know what God... In other words, it's okay to be a man of God, but how do you know what God thinks? 64% of Americans say things are completely out of control. Well, if you're on welfare, you'd think things are in very good control. If you're from Liberia coming here for care for Ebola, you'd say it's a great country, wouldn't you? If you're an unaccompanied minor from Central America, and your mama and you were brought in by the train load, and you're living on welfare, and you have everything for free, wouldn't you say it's a great country? That you have all these working people working for you? What's wrong with that? I want to look at Pope Francis. God is not afraid of new things. I want to get into some philosophy now. I'm getting bored of politics. I got to get that article down. I don't. Oh, it's a video. I don't know. Pope. I'm not a big fan of this Pope. Either. Marco Rubio introduces Ebola travel ban. That's 2 weeks too late and much too mild. Rubio's finished. Rubio's time has come and gone. His time came and went with Glenn Beck's when he brought teddy bears to the border. God is not afraid of new things. I don't know if that's really a story. What do you want to talk about? Are you bored? Are you bored with the news or what? You want me to talk about Ebola? The Ebola epidemic or what? Let's take some calls here. Where's WABC? I had one. KSFO, William, welcome to the Savage Nation from San Francisco.
Thanks for having me, Michael. You know, I've heard you talk about, like, you know, the New World Order and other things, and, you know, call me a conspiracy theorist. I actually just like to try and question things. But the CDC filed for a patent on Ebola, and that's pretty common. But the word that got me kind of curious as the invention of the human of Ebola, and I just want to know what your opinion on that was, and why would they get a patent on the invention of the human Ebola virus?
Well, to do experiments on it.
Basically, does that mean the CDC created Ebola?
Well, I don't know if they created it. I think it's been around quite a while. I say you're saying the human Ebola was in Africa before the CDC held patents on this life form and others. And the question is, why? And the answer is because they want to do experiments to see if they can develop a vaccine, I suppose. Let's look at it. Look, why does the CDC own a patent on Ebola? Isn't that what you're saying? Isn't that the basic question?
Well, I guess I understand the whole vaccine part of it, but my question is the term.
Well, no, let me say I know a lot more about this than I've said so far. First of all, this is not news to me. The CDC owns a patent on a particular strain of Ebola known as Ebobun. Its patent number is CA27415231. It was awarded in 2010. Okay, so that's to start with. So don't think that I'm like the others in the media who dropped out of high school and are pretending that I know something about it. They have a patent on it. I'll even read you the patent application. Here's what it says. This invention provides the isolated human Ebola, H. Ebola virus, is denoted as Bundi Bugyo, Ebobun, deposited with the CDC in prevention on November 26, 2007, and accorded an accession number 200706291. And it goes on to state as follows. The present invention is based upon the isolation and identification of a new human Ebola virus species, Ebobun. Ebobun was isolated from the patient suffering from hemorrhagic fever in a recent outbreak in Uganda. Now, here's something you may not know. The Ebobun virus strain is not the same variant currently believed to be circulating in West Africa. And so the real question becomes, why did the U.S. government extract Ebola viruses from patients? Why would they hold such a patent? And why would they have filed for monopoly patent protection on the virus? Why would they do that?
I mean...
The U.S. government is claiming exclusive ownership over its invention of Ebola. So obviously they got something in mind. Maybe that explains why they picked an Ebola czar. There's no medical reason to bring Ebola to the United States. Why? Why'd they have brought him here to begin with? There was no medical reason to bring them here. They should have treated them there. But this is a different question. And so the Ebola patent was obviously created to exploit for medical experiments or military bioweapons harvesting or intellectual property claims, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what you're getting at. In other words, why would they patent an Ebola virus? Well, for medical experiments, to make military bioweapons harvesting, or for intellectual property claims, right?
Well, but the main thing is the term, though, the invention. Okay.
So why would they claim they invented Ebola? Why would they do that? Why would a government organization claim to have, quote, invented this infectious killer disease and then claim a monopoly over its exploitation for commercial use? That's what you're saying, right?
Exactly. Like,
well, okay, there's one answer, greed, again. It could be that the gonoffs at the CDC hope to collect a royalty on Ebola vaccines. That the criminals who are behind the medical government establishment, who have made billions of dollars on other epidemics, are hoping to make billions on a royalty on Ebola vaccines. Isn't that possible? Remember, I said it first. I saw it first. Billions of dollars in profits are at stake in this disease. Did you know that shares of Tecmyra surged over the last few weeks because it was placed on the FDA fast-track list to fast-track Ebola vaccine trials? You know that, right?
I actually did not know that. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but, you know...
All right, so I don't know if I've answered any of your concerns, but you asked why does the CDC own a patent on the Ebola, quote, invention? That is worrisome to you, correct?
It is very worrisome, you know.
And you're not calling because you're a conspiracy theorist. You're calling because you're a curious individual who saw the connection and said, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. Why would a government patent an Ebola invention? What are they doing here? Well, then you could rush to judgment and say they actually brought the disease here in order to sell the vaccine so they can make trillions of dollars in royalties. You could argue that there's a government pharmaceutical complex, couldn't you?
Like the Bill Gates and Melinda Foundation.
Oh, no, they're good people. They're as good as Warren Buffett. They're all good people. They're down home, just good people who care about America. You know that. And the reason they want increased H-1B visas is not to lower the cost of employees at Microsoft. It's to do good. But as you well know, the missionaries came to do good 150 years ago, and they did very, very well indeed. That's the story of liberalism. They claim to do good, but they do very well indeed. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. You're talking about Ebola and money and profits. And you're saying, come on, Mike, nobody would be doing a thing like this for profit. Okay, does anyone remember the swine flu epidemic? Does anyone remember the profits from the swine flu epidemic? Same kind of scenario. Create alarm by saying don't create alarm. Bring a vaccine into the marketplace, scare the government into buying billions of dollars worth of the vaccines that no one needs, and then impose a mandatory vaccination program on the population of sheeple. Happened before. Who says it can't be happening now? Who says that it can't be happening now? Why would Obama insist on keeping the borders open when more sane people in Africa have controlled the epidemic by sealing the borders with the infected nations? Why? Why would he bring an ED-68 from Central America and infect our children knowingly, bringing a resurgence of tuberculosis, for example? I don't know. Could be profits. Think of the money that's going to be made on that. Wow. Come on, Savage. What do you mean that's going to be made? It's already been made. Why, Catholic Charities has received almost $200 million already for the unaccompanied children. And Baptist Family Services had the goons. Remember, the Baptist Family Services had guards, goons, brown-shirted guards, not permitting reporters to look into the holding tanks for the kids that were being brought in this summer. So hundreds of millions, if not billions, have been made already on ED-68, or shall I say unaccompanied minors. They're one and the same to most of us who've studied it. But now let's look at the bigger threat. Listen, TB is child's play. A virus that kills a few children, what the heck, that's nothing. But let's look at a global pandemic such as Ebola. Tie it into a government patent. Tie it into a president that, despite all evidence, refuses to stop the flow of individuals from these infected nations such as Liberia into the United States. So he brings them into major cities. Then come across with an experimental vaccine. Then look at a little-known pharmaceutical company that hardly existed before this. And then the public starts to scream, for the so-called FDA to fast-track the vaccine. Wow. Then there'll be mandatory nationwide Ebola vaccinations that are required, and the police can make you go get the shot. And who will be the saviors? Why, it'll be companies that have the vaccine and their investors. That could be where the Ebola czar comes in. And then the CDC has the virus patents to save us. Okay, can't happen. Can't happen here. Nobody would do a thing like this. That's impossible. That's totally impossible. We're not that kind of corruption. How in the world can you say that? How in the world could you ever say that this government would do such a thing? I don't know. I didn't say they would. I said it's possible, isn't it? WDRC, Dan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, you know, I just got a comment. I called last week to a local radio host here in Connecticut, and I basically said the same thing you said, that I believe that they want that here, the endovirus as well. It would be as simple as closing the borders and as simple as not putting people on planes, not letting anybody with a passport from Western Africa into this country. And do you know what I was told? I was told...
Hold, I'll tell you, you're called a racist and a xenophobe.
A hateful person that should be ashamed of myself.
Well, why don't you tell the host to go embrace somebody with Ebola?
Exactly. That's my point.
Tell him that he's so loving. Why doesn't he go to Africa and help the people there? I don't understand why Tom Frieden, who knows so much about Ebola and says it's hard to get, why don't they go to Africa and help the patients there instead of lecturing us here?
Yep. It was shameful.
Why don't they send Al Sharpton to Liberia to aid, since he cares so much for his people and he's such a good man? Why doesn't he go to Western Africa and help those people? You know, Dan, the only way to fight back is to fight back and not take it from them and not be intimidated by the words racism or xenophobia. You know what to say to them. You don't have to put up with this garbage. The left thinks that they're winning because we're not fighting back. We've got the tools to fight back. All it takes is guts. Listen, I put myself on the line by writing Stop the Coming Civil War. As you know, the book is being blocked and banned across America. It's made it to 5 bestseller lists the first week. I'm sending you a free copy right now. Stay on the line. I want to get the truth out because we have just 2 weeks, 2 weeks to convert one voter each to save America from this administration.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Look, we're talking about Ebola. Let me explain something. This is a little off the subject in a way, but Ebola is primarily a zoonotic infection that originated in a non-human primate population, monkeys and apes. And you say you can make some jokes about it, you know, like how to cook a monkey to avoid Ebola, but there's nothing funny about this. It's almost, in a strange way, the animals that are being hunted in Africa are getting even with the humans for hunting them. I know that's going to appeal to the animal rights activists, and it should in some ways. You know, I've worked in laboratories. I've quit. You don't know anything about my background, many of you, even though those of you think you know me. I once quit a fellowship when I had no money because I wouldn't kill lab rats. I didn't even want to kill rats in an experiment. You laugh at me if you want, but I really didn't want to pith the brain of the rat. I wouldn't do it, so they threw me out of a graduate program. And I didn't have a dime, not 10 cents. That's how I wound up in botany, because I didn't want to kill animals. I don't know if you know that part of my biography, but... What I'm saying is this is not all new to me. It's not like I'm an expert on it, but you don't have to be an expert per se to be able to read the literature. And I'm saying a few different things at once here. This is somewhat of a revenge of the primate, the non-human primates, on the Africans who hunt those poor creatures. You know, sometimes I wish that it would be a little revenge on the so-called mad scientists who use non-human primates in cages. It breaks my heart. If you actually saw what went on, you'd scream. If you knew what went on in the Auschwitzes of the universities, you'd die. You don't understand what they do to these poor animals. You want to hear one? Would you like to hear one little experiment? I'll read one to you. Let's see. They took a couple of non-human primates, i.e. apes or monkeys, and they put it into here. In the laboratory setting, non-human primates with their heads placed in closed hoods have been exposed to and infected by nebulized aerosols of Ebola virus. In a different experiment, control monkeys were placed in cages 3 meters away from the cages of monkeys that were intramuscularly inoculated with Ebola virus. both controlled and inoculated monkeys both developed Ebola virus infection. The authors concluded that fomite and contact droplet transmission to the control monkeys was unlikely and that airborne transmission was most likely. But they did not discuss the potential behaviors of caged non-human primates, i.e. spitting and throwing feces that might have led to body fluid exposures. So they took poor monkeys, locked them in a cage, put a hood over their heads. It's sickening. And then they put from them 9 feet away monkeys that were injected with Ebola virus and that the non-injected monkeys wound up with Ebola. You know what kind of horrible deaths these animals died? You have any idea? Say, oh, what are you crying over them? Because, you know, I give money to save elephants and gorillas and you know that. I'm an animal rights activist in that regard and I'm very proud of it. I'm going to hide from all of the fraudulent conservatives who say, oh, come on now, be a man. Be a man. What do you care about elephants and primates for? What are you, a big sissy there, savage? Be like me. Smoke cigars. Wield a golf club. That's a real man. He doesn't cry over a little animal. Well, it's the way I'm wired. And I gave up a fellowship, and I'll say it again. You'll see it in my journals when they're eventually published. I didn't have a dime. I remember the doctor's name. You know, you talk about, I don't know, sometimes I think that there is justice in the world. This doctor, I'm not going to mention his name, he said to me, unless you kill those animals, I'm going to have to dismiss you from the laboratory. I said, look, I'm here. I don't have any money. It's a $300 a month grant I'm on at the time. That's all I have. He said, well, it's too bad. Unless you're willing to kill the animals, I'm going to have to dismiss you from the pharmacology lab. Well, I thought on it long and hard, and I spoke to my deceased father again in my mind, and he said to me, I was an immigrant to this country, and you're cleaning up rodent droppings in a cage? That was number one. He saw it from the point of view of the lowliness of the job. I saw it from the point of view of killing innocent animals and experimenting on them. So I quit. I had nothing. And I wound up walking the halls of the university laboratories, and I stumbled upon a lab where there were herbal medicines in jars, all labeled nicely. And I went and spoke to the professor, who was turned out to be one of the greatest men on earth. He was real nice to me, and he told me what ethnobotany was. That's how I got into ethnobotany. And I wound up traveling to Fiji and Tonga, Samoa, the Marquesas, and other remote islands looking for cures. You can laugh about it and say, oh, that's savage. What does he know? He's just a herbalist. Like, that's nothing. Like, most of Chinese medicine is built on herbal medicine. And suddenly the leftists who revere everything in the third world don't revere herbal medicine because they're ignoramuses. They revere everything except everything that doesn't fit their agenda. But nevertheless, who cares what they think? Well, that's how I wound up in the field of natural products research, because I wouldn't kill animals. Now, that's a long way from discussing Ebola, but I was saying, if you want to look at it from a philosophical point of view, there's somewhat of a revenge factor here of these poor animals being hunted almost to extinction in Africa. Now, that's another question that's been plaguing me for a while. They got it from eating bushmeat originally. It jumped from the animal kingdom into the human kingdom. I mean, you say animals, I get it. Non-human primates to human primates, I get it. It's called a zoonotic infection. Same thing with syphilis. It jumped from the llama to the Spanish explorer and was brought back to Europe. I don't know if you know that. That's the theory of the spread of syphilis. I know it's an ugly picture that I just presented, but that's science. If you want science fiction, then read science fiction. The conquistadors had a liking for the llama. And as a result of that, they picked up an animal infection. They brought it back to Europe, blah, blah, blah. You say, that's embarrassing. Well, you want science? What are you, a child? That's a zoonotic infection that left the non-human population and became a human disease. It was transmitted that way. So in the sense of the primate, the non-human primate, the monkey and the ape, being hunted to extinction in Africa by the sensitive African people who also hunt the elephant to extinction, you know, everything the third world does is superior to us. Like the superior Chinese keep bears in cages and torture them to death, tie them on their backs and suck out the gallbladder bile. You know, they're wonderful people. They're much more superior than we are. Just ask any leftist who bows in every time they walk into an Asian restaurant to ask for a glass of water and a chopstick. Every time they walk in, they bow to the superior culture, the liberals here in the Bay Area. But putting that aside, and my sarcasm and contempt for them that literally pours off my tongue like bile, the Chinese torture animals. They torture bears. They raise dogs in cages and kill the dogs with clubs and serve it in restaurants. So don't tell me about the third world being superior. The third world is a garbage can of hatred and pollution. It's a mess, and that's why America used to be a great place. We knew it. We knew the third world was not to be emulated. And then what happened is we elected Barack Hussein Obama, who has said the third world is better than the America that he grew up in. Although the America he grew up in has been nothing but great to him, he hated America, despised America. Contempt for America from his earliest years. He was steeped in a hatred for America. And so he's trying to turn this into a third world nation as quickly as he can in the minds of millions of Americans who see what he's doing. How else would you explain importing diseases, whether advertently or inadvertently? How would you explain it? Let's say he made a mistake with the unaccompanied minors. I'll give you that. Oh, he didn't know that there was an ED68 endemic in Central America. He should have. After all, the great Tommy Frieden should have known that. The man with the nice tie and the bad suit. I think he and Al Sharpton shop at the same tailor, like on Orchard Street. I don't know what they're looking for, a bargain suit. But the fact of the matter is, Tommy Frieden should have said to the president, look, if you bring in all of these unaccompanied children from Guatemala and Nicaragua and El Salvador, you're going to run a high risk of introducing a virus to our school children. But I don't think Tommy knew that. He was busy rushing off to meetings in Brussels and Zurich to meet his cohorts in the World Health Organization and Thailand. You know, living high on the hog. That's what they do. NIH, CDC, academic businessmen. Nevertheless, he didn't warn the president. So the president brought in these 100,000 minors, brought in tuberculosis, a flu virus that's decimating our children across America, swept under the rug by the New York Times and others. But that's chump change compared to the new third world invasion of Ebola. It's a third world virus. It's interesting to me that when I was a kid, we heard of a thing called the Hong Kong flu. Remember? Oh, it's the Hong Kong flu. You knew where it came from, Hong Kong. Started in Hong Kong. The variant was in Hong Kong, and it was brought in to America, Hong Kong flu. Then all of a sudden, they stopped calling it Hong Kong flu. But you see, Obama's virus, the ED68 one infecting our children, is really the Honduran virus. But no one will say that because they work for Obama. They can't say it's the Honduran virus, even though it's endemic to Honduras, because then you're liable to put two and two together and throw out every Democrat, socialist, Islamist running for office. Every one of them needs to be purged. Anyone with a D next to the name, fired. It's the premise of my whole book, Stop the Coming Civil War. What's ironic, though, is that Republicans want nothing to do with me. It's not so ironic. I know who they are. It's like a reversal, almost like a reversal of the, what's it, Groucho Marx thing, is that anyone would have me a member of their club, I wouldn't join. You know that old joke? Any member who would have me as a member of their country club, I wouldn't want to join. That was an old Groucho Marx joke. Which is true in the fate in terms of Republicans, I would never join a club that's all Republicans ever. They put my teeth on edge. They are the most uncool people on the planet. Rigid, everything rigid and boring and backwards. They remind me of. But nevertheless, they're our only hope right now. So they detest a man like me. I'm not their type. They would never let me into their Republican club. But the fact is, they're the ones who I say we have to vote for. Isn't that crazy? Why? Because we have no third party, fourth party, fifth party, sixth party. See, if we had a real democracy, there'd be five or six parties in America. There'd be the Green Party. There'd be the Animal Rights Party. There'd be Obama's party, which is the undemocratic Socialist Party USA. Actually, he would be the CPUSA. I mean, his policies are as close to the communist newspaper as you've ever seen. You don't understand this. If you actually read the Communist Party USA newspaper, virtually every policy Obama has enacted, him and Holder, is right out of the CPUSA newspaper. Riots in Ferguson, stimulated by communists, want the exact same thing. Grand jury says the cop was splattered with the blood of the poor 300-pound innocent little child on the way to medical school. That doesn't matter. Al Sharpton, race hustler and generalized bad person, in my opinion, says we don't care what any grand jury says. We want that cop tried. In other words, you want to hang him. Hang him high. That's who MSNBC, that's the pride of MSNBC. That's the pride of NBC. That has a television show. Can you believe this? They want a lynching, in other words, of this poor cop. So that's what goes on in the country. We've descended from a fabulous first world nation as rapidly as you can imagine under this administration. B. because he hates America and he wants to convert us into something unimaginable. Say, well, okay, so where are you going with this? Where I've been going for 20 years. Borders, language, culture. Obama's the anti-borders, anti-language, anti-culture president. And if it keeps up, see, what's going to happen is when the Democrats are swept out in 2 weeks from today and the Republicans are ushered in, if they don't do what we want, there's going to be an insurrection in this country. There will be an insurrection or 100 insurrections. The people can't take it. They know what Obama's done. And then we read this morning that he's asked for an RFP to produce 9 million green cards. And he's going to bypass Congress and give them out to who? Who's he giving them out to? Are you kidding me? You think the people are going to take this and stand idly by and say, oh, well, and go on with a sports game? I'm telling you what's going to happen. In that regard, I'm a prophet. And I don't profit from my prophecy. But you'll profit from my prophecy if you listen to me. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Stop all travel in and out of Western Africa. You want to take Ebola seriously? You want to control it? Stop all travel in or out of Western Africa, except for medical personnel. That would show that Obama is serious about controlling the illness. I want to read you some by the way, one other thing on Ebola in the time that remains in this hour. I was researching over the weekend how it originates from the animal world or the non-human primate world, and I found this. The primary source of patients with filovirus hemorrhagic fever was mainly linked to exposure to animal carcasses found in the forest or to the putative bat reservoir. Now, we've known that it's transmitted by bats. Animal carcasses, so they're eating carrion. In other words, the animal dies or gets killed in a fight, and a piece of the animal's left in the jungle, and they're eating it. So there it is. And then, of course, the rest is history. I want to make some quotes for you, read some quotes now, from Stop the Coming Civil War, because we have 2 weeks right now. The real purpose of Obamacare is to turn the best medical system in the world into a third world experience for the middle class, the poor, and the elderly. We will soon be seeing the same double sets of books and de facto death panels throughout our healthcare system as we have seen in VA hospitals. Thanks to Obamacare, the best medical research and treatment hospitals in the U.S. will become available only to the very rich, while the remaining 90% of Americans wait in interminable lines to receive second-rate treatment. In the Middle East, our pro-Muslim terrorist foreign policy weakens our most important ally, Israel, while making sure that radical Islamists gain increasing power. These are direct quotes from Stop the Coming Civil War. Because of Obama's foreign policy, the Middle East is returning to the ice age of Islamic fundamentalism. Like every communist nation, we become a surveillance state in which the National Security Agency can track our every breath, our every move. You want another nice little quote to give your liberal friends who sneer at you for reading my books? Throw this in their face. If the KGB had had the technology that is being used to monitor every American's daily activities, we'd all be speaking Russian now. Those who stand up for traditional American values and practices are the equivalent of the anti-communists who fought against Stalin. Those are some of the quotes. How can anyone disagree with any of them? How? You want another one? Like Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War, Obama sees the military as his palace guard. During the Civil War, Lincoln ordered the censoring of news stories. Like Lincoln, Barack Obama has not only turned a deaf ear on criticism of his administration, he has effectively censored the media through political pressure. You want to hear a little bit more? Our country is about to snap under the pressure of an incompetent zealot president who is trying to control our lives from womb to tomb. Led by Barack Obama, the new ruling junta has divided our nation by class, gender, race, age, and income, and the division is leading us into civil war. I could go on and on. And I know it's just anti-Obama rhetoric. None of it's factual. Even though it's 300 pages chock full of facts and references, which you can use to convince any middle-of-the-roader to throw at everyone with a D next to their name. I made it all up. None of it's true, because you didn't hear it from the New York Times. This is Michael Savage saying thank you very much for listening to this broadcast, which is emanating live from San Francisco, California, to America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We are talking about President Obola's inadequate response to the Ebola epidemic. And my affectionate article is They Don't Know Ebola from Shinola. Still holds true. So over the weekend, I was trying to educate myself a little further on various and sundry biological toxins because of the prior military history of biowarfare and terrorism. You see, to me, Ebola and terrorism are somewhat interrelated. I hope they don't become so, but they're clearly related because Ebola, the Ebola virus, can be tied to terrorism quite easily. And any sane nation would, of course, stop the flights from these African nations that are being plagued by Ebola, but Obama has his own agenda, and he won't stop it. And he gives the most cockamamie reasons for not stopping travel, while other nations have stopped the travel, including surrounding African nations, which indicates that third world dictatorships are run by more intelligent and thoughtful individuals than our nation is. But I'm looking at bioterrorism right now. Remember the anthrax letter attacks of 2001? Remember those ancient days of the white powder? Remember? Remember that we were worried about anthrax in those days? Well, I was looking into the decay of these biological agents and how long do they last in the environment. I'd like to know about the ecology of the Ebola virus. And I'm reading as much as I can. But if you look at Ebola and other Category A select agents, Category A select agents are those that could be weaponized. Smallpox, anthrax, the plague, botulism, tularemia. And the viral hemorrhagic fever agents, such as Lassa fever, Yunnan Argentine hemorrhagic fever, and Venezuelan hemorrhagic fever. Then you have the hantavirus, which you know about. Then you have the Ebola hemorrhagic fever and Marburg hemorrhagic fever and others. These are all classified as Category A. And they are on the public, they are on the government's watch list. They should be. Because they require intensive public preparedness efforts due to the potential for mass casualties, public fear, and civil disruption. And, this is real. So let's look at the Ebola virus a little bit further, if we can, unless this is too technical for you. I'd like to go beyond the headlines and into the news. Or do you not want to do that? Well, let's not look at Ebola. Let's look at some other things and see how long they last, just to give you some comparisons. And remember, we're not talking about Ebola. We are not talking about Ebola. But we're talking about other organisms that could be used in weapons. So, what's been found in research is really fascinating to me. You know how long they can last, some of these things? I was shocked to find this out. Bacillus, the old Bacillus species. The spores of Bacillus species have been found and revived from sediments as old as 1,000 years. And some have even been claimed from Paleozoic salt beds. Can you believe this? Spores of B. anthracis have been found after 40 years on a certain island. Well, I don't know if any of this is of any interest to you. But, you know, there's a lot involved here. I mean, the exposure, how long does it last? What do you do with the waste? What are we doing with the Ebola waste? Where's that going? Do you think the Ebola czar would know anything about that? Why don't you send an email to the Ebola czar and say, Dear Ron, we realize you're the Ebola czar and you're appointed because you know more than anybody about this threat to humanity. What are you doing about Ebola waste, Mr. Klein? Well, if I were Mr. Klein, I'd look in to see who has the contract for, I'd say Tony Soprano probably has the contract for that. And instead of putting it into like a lead container and burying it 1,000 feet under the earth, he's probably throwing it into a lake in New Jersey. Think of the money you could save instead of burying it in a lead container way down under the earth. You just threw it into a lake in New Jersey. Just think of the money you'd save. Look, I watch too much television, I admit. And I'm just interested in these topics from the point of view of fiction because the experts are at the CDC. They're not me. They're the real experts. They say you can't get in on a bus, but don't travel on a bus. Then they say you can't get in a bus, but quarantine the bus. So every day they change their tune. That's so. It's an interesting study. Category A select agents in the environment. I love science. I don't like science fiction as much, but Obama probably reads only science fiction. What would you like to talk about on the Savage Nation? WGOW Radio. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. Ken, what's on your mind?
Yes. Michael, since you have a background in epidemiology, I'd like to get your opinion on something. I've been studying vaccines and science and medicine on my own for over 20 years. And the most sometimes the simplest things are reality. And my question is, since polio is an enterovirus, and children are now not on iron lungs, they're on respirators, and they're getting paralyzed, is it possible that enterovirus D68 is a recurrence of polio? Because the people in power we see in the CDC are either ignorant or dishonest or both. And could it be that just simply looking at a duck quacking, if it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's a duck, that this could be a resurgence of polio?
Well, there are well over 100 types of known enteroviruses. There are 100 types of known enteroviruses, okay? And these are usually transmitted person to person by direct contact with the viruses that are shed from the GI tract or upper respiratory tract. So these children who were brought in by Obama this summer are either sneezing, coughing, or touching doorknobs, or they're not taking care of themselves hygienically. Okay, let's start with that. Now, these viruses are generally categorized as either polio or non-polio viruses. They are different, but they have very similar initial symptoms, okay? That's something for you to know. And what you're worried about is this fever, headache, sore throat, loss of appetite, and abdominal discomfort. The symptoms are very similar in the beginning in the children, right?
Right.
Okay, so what is it that you're worried about?
What I'm worried about is exactly what you're talking about. We brought thousands, if not tens of thousands of people, children, call them whatever you want, in from countries where all these diseases are still prevalent. And we're creating epidemics right here in our country that we...
That's correct. Epidemics that were once wiped out or suppressed are being brought back into America by third worlders who are flooding into the country because of the corrupt Democrat Party who wants them as voters. And the corrupt politicians who are answering to the corporations that want cheap labor.
Well,
so in other words, let the people be damned. Just look at the bottom line. You know, this is how empires collapse. Empires collapse for a number of reasons. Loss of resources, overpopulation, epidemics, and greed. Right now we have a almost perfect storm brewing with this administration. You know that. Listen to the four things I just mentioned. The four or five things that have brought empires to their knees in the past are coming together almost in a perfect storm under Barack Obama. He's almost the harbinger of doom when you consider what I just said. Would you disagree with that statement?
Oh, no, I agree with you.
Either this man is a total ignoramus or so partisan and so blinded to what he's doing, and he's only doing it because of his detestation for this country and his agenda. Vote. That's all it is. They don't even think about the consequences, nor do they care. And that's why I wasn't joking when I said whoever's disposing of the Ebola waste, for all I can tell, is very much like the Sopranos. Who is disposing of the Ebola waste? What are they doing with it? I mean, who are they? Were they a reliable company? Are they burning it? Are they burying it? Or are they throwing it in a lake in order to save some money and make another couple of $100 million by not performing their job adequately, as we saw in these fictional accounts of how the organized criminals dumped hazardous waste, right?
That's right. Absolutely right.
All right. So I didn't really answer your question. I'm going around the question. The fact of the matter is that there's an overlap and a confusion of enterovirus names. I'm not certain what you asked, but the fact of the matter is the poliovirus and the flu-like virus that these poor children are getting are very similar. But you're asking something else, which is maybe they're getting polio from the Central American children that are being brought in. Isn't that what you're asking?
That's right. Because the powers that be, even if it was true, wouldn't admit it.
No, they would never say that anyone from the third world could be doing anything wrong.
Because
we're evil and they're good. They're innocent victims and we're exploiters.
It seems from my study that we create new diseases by renaming old diseases.
Aha, interesting.
Well,
the new outbreak of EVD68 that began in the Midwest and is described in the enterovirus articles that we're reading about clearly came from Obama's unaccompanied children brought in by the trainload this summer. There's no question about it. And yet the same clowns in the CDC that let this happen by looking the other way, they damn well knew this virus was endemic in these countries. They covered it up. They swept it under the rug because they're nothing but party hacks for the Obama administration. They're not independent scientists. They're not producing science. They're producing nothing but propaganda. So what are we, the people, supposed to do with a lawless administration like this? What do we do with a rogue administration like this? As I said to you, my friend, we live in a dictatorship that is punctuated by occasional bursts of democracy. In 2 weeks, we have the little tiny shred of democracy that they allow us. Whether it still exists is another question. Over 1 million absentee ballots have been cast already. Do you know that? Go figure that one out. And most of them have been cast for Democrats. Did you know that? How many of them did they make up? Who's monitoring the Democrat absentee ballots? Who's created the paperwork on that, the electronic data on that? Who controls the data company? Which Democrat gets what money from whom to control the data on absentee ballots? I mean, it's like a country that may as well not have an election anymore. In some ways, people feel that way. You know that, don't you? Anyway, I'm going on and on here. I have so many thoughts all at once. And yet I'm an eternal Boy Scout, and I have a total belief that we can just save America in the nick of time. I do. I believe we can do it. I think that if there was such a massive upheaval come 2 weeks from tomorrow, and I'm talking a sweep like we've never seen in history, like 80% of the Democrats are fired. Do you know what a message this would send to every legitimate politician in America? Now, it wouldn't affect President Obola. President Obola is immune to any criticism. President Obola is immune to any reality of his consequence and any consequences of his actions. He's immune. However, the party elders will do something at that point. I am convinced that if there's an 80% sweep against these, the party elders will step in and do something quite drastic to save their party, not to save America. Would you please try to convince someone who's straddling the fence? As bad as the Republicans are, they are our only hope. And I don't even like Republicans. I wouldn't associate with them. I don't care for them. I'm not taking a break yet. I'll just go to the, I'm going to do the whole thing here. I don't like them at all. They're too uptight for me. I don't hang with Republicans. I don't like the way they look. I don't like the way they talk. They're always like basically look down at me. I know what the type they are. I mean, that kind of country club type, I never cared for them. It's just not my type. I'm not that. I don't drink that kind of alcohol. I don't eat white bread, mayonnaise sandwiches, that kind of thing. So, but we have to vote for them because they're definitely more accessible than the Democrat, Socialist, Islamists. Okay, when I come back, we'll talk about infectious diseases and other such enjoyable topics right here on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Let me tell you something. I'm more concerned about the risks of flu and paralysis and death from the enterovirus D68, or known as EVD68, for this country than Ebola infections. Because influenza alone kills about 3,000 to 49,000 Americans, guaranteed, every year. And now we have children becoming paralyzed from EVD68. And it's been confirmed in 45 states. 5 children have died. Others may be experiencing muscle paralysis due to this viral infection. And it's mainly affecting children. And yet all of the clowns called the doctors will not mention that this was unknown, this virus, largely unknown in America, until this season. And it's because it's related directly to Obama's unaccompanied children from Central America. Now let me go on to another subject. Headline, Investors Business Daily. Islamic burial rituals blamed for spread of Ebola. What you don't know is something I'm about to tell you. Obama is so blinded by his left-wing fanaticism, open borders, etc., that he won't do not only what African nations have done, which is ban travel from the Ebola-stricken nations, but do you know that Saudi Arabia has banned all travelers to Mecca from Ebola-stricken African nations? I guess that means the Saudis are anti-black. Did you also know that most of those getting Ebola in Ebola's three hotspot nations are Muslim. Oh, you didn't know that either? Didn't make it to your local newspaper? Very important you understand why it may be due to their religion. 73% of Sierra Leone's, 85% of Guinea's people are Muslim. Right? Now, let me go on. This is very important. I'll say it again. Saudi Arabia has banned all travelers to Mecca for the Hajj from Ebola-stricken African nations. I think that Obama should send Eric Holder with the FBI to visit the king of Saudi Arabia and see if there's any racism involved. Because this could be racism against Africans by the Saudis. It certainly makes no sense from the point of view of public health and protecting the people of Saudi Arabia. Because as we know, Obama said you can't get it on a bus. But the Saudis are dumb. They're not as smart as him. The Saudis won't let them in. But what does the Islamic burial have to do with this? When Muslims die, death is handled differently. They wash the corpses of loved ones, the relatives do, from head to toe. Several relatives do this. They scrub the skin with soap and water. Family members press down on the abdomen to excrete fluid still in the body. And then a mixture of camphor and water is used for final washing. Then family members dry off the body and shroud it in white linens. After washing the bodies of the dead in this way, and it's considered a collective duty for Muslims, especially in the Muslim nations, failure to do so is believed to leave the deceased impure and jeopardizes the faithful's ascension into paradise. Unless he died in jihad, and then no such washing is required. You see, they change the law according to their needs. Before the body is buried, Muslims attending the funeral typically pass a common bowl for use in ablution or washing of their face, feet, and hands. Of course, that has tremendous risks for infection, but you don't want to step on anyone's religion. Now, these customs are prescribed by Sharia law. They're very dangerous and should be suspended. And the so-called leaders of mosques should step in to educate village Muslims about such dangers. I doubt very much that they will. But you just learned a little bit more than you ever wanted to know about Islamic burial rituals. You can learn a lot more about a lot by reading Stop the Coming Civil War before there is a civil war. There's only so much anyone could take. That's my opinion.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Ebola is actually a difficult disease to catch. It's not transmitted through the air like the flu.
We don't know
that.
You
cannot get it from just riding on a plane or a bus.
Yes, you can.
The only way that a person can contract the disease is by coming into direct contact with the bodily fluids of somebody who is already showing symptoms.
Wrong. Again, he's lying. He's putting out misinformation. He's in a panic mode. He's hysterical. He says that you can't get it from just riding on a plane or a bus. But on Friday, a bus was quarantined on Virginia Avenue in the Capitol Hill area of Washington, D.C., because of an Ebola false alarm, but they quarantined an entire bus. You see, the bus was carrying a group of Marines and family members from the Pentagon to a ceremony supposed to take place at the Marine barracks on Capitol Hill. And while it was sitting in a Pentagon parking lot, a woman boarded the bus and went into the restroom. She then exited the bus and vomited. She then said she had recently visited Africa. Well, the bus departed from the Marine barracks, but the woman was brought to Inova Fairfax Hospital as a suspected Ebola victim. Meanwhile, the entire south parking lot of the Pentagon was closed down. And when this bus approached the Marine barracks, it was quarantined. Okay, that's very wise. It's very wise. In fact, it gets even better, Mr. Obama. So-called health officials instructed passengers on this bus to monitor their temperature for 21 days. Well, later on in the day, so-called health officials determined that the woman did not have Ebola. So again, Obama repeats the lie on Sunday this time that he had said you can't get Ebola on public transportation. Well, that's not true. It's just not true. We don't know if you can or you cannot. Do they understand what's actually going on in Africa? Would you sit next to someone on a bus who might have Ebola? I wouldn't sit next to anyone on a bus who has the flu, let alone Ebola. If I'm sitting in a movie theater and I hear someone cough, I get up and move five rows away. What, do you think I'm crazy or a germaphobe? It's common sense. How do you think a person stays healthy? By avoiding people who are sick. And so for these people to be putting out the big lie that you can't get it except by basically hugging and kissing, an active Ebola patient is not fair to the American people. This is a very, very dangerous time to be living in such with such lies. Only a travel ban can stop the Ebola virus from spreading. Everybody knows that. I'm the first one in the media to have said that. I'm the only one in the American radio media to have an actual PhD, which is in part in epidemiology. Write that down. Write it down, because I don't care what else you've heard about Michael Savage. That you better hear correctly. And you know what? I'm not going to hide my credentials just because it makes you uncomfortable. I know more about epidemics than Bill Maher and that creep on television who pretends to be a comedian, but he's a government jester. They're all government jesters making it into a big joke. But you know what? Listen to who you wish at your own risk. We need to close the borders now, right now. We need to stop all travel from Western Africa. We need to slam shut the green card system. There are so many things that need to be done. 30 African nations have banned travel from these Ebola-stricken nations. And Nigeria is a success story. Not one case reported in Nigeria because they got on top of the disease because they didn't listen to the liars in the United States of American government, United States of America government. They're liars. And it wouldn't be bad if this was more of the same lying about money, lying about voters, lying about... They're now lying where they're putting all of our survival at risk, in my opinion. This is Obama's Katrina. There's no question about it. This is the equivalent of George Bush's Katrina moment. It's exactly the same thing. And the equivalent of the head of FEMA under Bush is Tom Frieden, MD. And Tom Frieden needs to go. He needs to be fired. Tom Frieden was caught flat-footed. He's a holdover from the AIDS epidemic. He's trying to put forth the same protocols that they used in the AIDS epidemic, in the Ebola epidemic, but he's making a huge error because they're two different viruses and the transmission is much different in the two diseases. You must understand that we have a dangerous situation here. Only a travel ban will stop the Ebola virus from spreading. That's the only thing that will stop the spread. How do I know that's true? Because in Africa, they've done it, and it's worked. In America, we're not doing it because of the left-wing fanatics who are running this country. Do you know that right now, 72 Republicans and 11 Democrats favor a travel ban from West Africa? And even the Hill website said Obama should deny entry to people traveling from Ebola-stricken countries and impose a period of quarantine on those suspected of being exposed to the disease. Doesn't that make sense? Do you understand that quarantines and travel bans helped curb cholera outbreaks in New York in the mid-19th century? Did you know that? That people were quarantined when they came off ships that had cholera, as I reported? Did you know that we had tough quarantine laws and tough inspections at every entry point in America? Why is it that I, as a trained epidemiologist, am not being listened to by this government or even by the Republican Party, but only by my own listeners? I've told you that the first rule of epidemiology, which everyone's quoting who knows that I know what I'm talking about, is that you keep sick people away from healthy people. It's that simple. Now, there's some great sound out there. For example, listen to Representative Ed Royce, Republican of California, on why we should suspend visa applications from Ebola nations in clip 19.
There isn't an inalienable right to travel or tourism to the United States. That's a privilege from a part of the world, especially where at this point in time you have a pandemic. It is only common sense to issue an order to take a time out on issuing those visas.
Right. Now go on to 20. Very important.
19 times in the past that I've seen, we've had regional conflicts or, the flu, and decisions were made to put the issuing of visas on hold. Certainly we should be doing that right now.
Right. Now, you have to ask yourself why Obama's being so damn stubborn at a time like this. Why is he being this stupid? This is stupidity, and it's stupidity that borders on the insane. And I'll say that again. You know, a person can be stupid and then they can be insanely stupid. If you would ban travel during a flu outbreak from countries where the flu is raging, why wouldn't you do it now? Because you're stupid? What in the heck is going on in this man's brain? Why doesn't he issue a travel ban when surrounding African nations have done so? I'm telling you there's going to be riots in this country unless he institutes a travel ban. Not because I said so. There'll be strikes. Unions will strike. You'll see airline pilots walking off the job. You'll see stewardesses walking off the job. You'll see baggage handlers walking off the job. People are going to go on strike, as they rightly should. They're not going to put their life at risk because of a bunch of dumb ideologues inside the Oval Office. They're not stupid. They're biased and they're limited. They're not stupid. Fauci is not stupid. He's very bright. But he's bound by the parameters of what he knows and what's worked for him. Fauci at the NIH has been there he's ensconced there since the AIDS epidemic broke out in the 80s. Frieden, another one, in place because of the AIDS epidemic. This is a different disease. It's a different type of virus. It is not the same, and yet I hear the same rhetoric I heard during the AIDS epidemic. If you compare the rhetoric you're hearing from Obama, this is a difficult disease to catch. You can only catch it through being in contact with the bodily fluids. This is rhetoric from the AIDS years. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, Ebola is an RNA virus. Let me go back to some of the science. What does that mean to you? Don't tune out on me and say, I can't follow this. It's very easy. What is RNA? It's a virus that has ribonucleic acid as its genetic material. So what does that mean? Well, you don't have to know the details. No one's an expert on it but the experts. But in the category of what an RNA virus can do, notable human diseases caused by RNA viruses include Ebola, hemorrhagic fever, SARS, influenza, hepatitis C, polio, measles, West Nile fever. That's just giving you a general category of the type of illnesses transmitted by or diseases caused by RNA viruses. So what does that have to do with the price of eggs? Well, nothing unto itself. But it's not identical to the HIV virus. It may not even be in the same category. So to apply the same rhetoric and the same protocols that you applied to the early years of the AIDS epidemic is not intelligent. It is not intelligent, which is why the message coming from Obama and Frieden and Fauci is falling flat. It's because people intuitively can tell they're groping and they're lying. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So I'm trying to educate people the best we can. In my chapter 4 in Stop the Coming Civil War, I talk about the war on American, on the U.S. military. Do you understand how serious this is? That the military itself, not so sure it may not be airborne, not as sure, for example, as the president. Would you play General Dempsey, who said he's concerned for his troops with the airborne thing?
You know, you'll hear different people describe whether it could become airborne. I mean, if you bring two doctors who happen to have that specialty into a room, one will say, no, there's no way it'll ever become airborne, but it could mutate so it would be harder to discover. It actually disguises itself in the body, which is what makes it so dangerous and has that incubation period of about 21 days. Another doctor will say, well, if it continues to mutate at the rate it's mutating, and if we go from 20,000 infected to 100,000, the population might allow it the opportunity to mutate and become airborne.
Okay, so that's General Dempsey, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who, frankly, I have more faith in than anyone yet in the government. I think that he's shined during this crisis as far as he can. He probably wants to say even more. I think he's worried about his troops, which is why they announced that they will quarantine all the troops that they deploy to Africa and quarantine them for, I think, 90 days after they come back to make sure they're not showing symptoms. Isn't that prudent? That's a little different than Obama saying definitively, as he says in clip 4, which is ridiculous what Obama's saying. Play clip 4. Listen to this.
What remains true is that this is not an airborne disease. It is not easy to catch. You can only catch it through...
Well, let's even using the word catch it shows how ignorant this president is. Easy to catch? Is he talking to school children? Who does he think he's talking to? What do you mean catch? Catch a cold? Catch Ebola? The phrase itself shows the mind of an adolescent or a child. I'm sorry, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff ought to take over the United States of America to save all of us from these grifters in the White House, in my humble opinion. I'm just joking. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. You My book, Stop the Coming Civil War, which is it's a raging bestseller, yet it can't be found in many bookstores. My main thesis is that to avoid a civil war, we have to throw out everyone with a D next to their name. And this has become a controversial conclusion. In order to stop the coming insurrections in this country, there's only one hope, and that hope is to vote in Republicans. And what is interesting here is that many people say, but Mike, come on. The Republicans are lackluster. They're middle of the road. They're not going to do what we want. They're in collusion with the Democrats. What's the point? If you take that attitude, I can guarantee you we'll lose the country. I can guarantee you if you take the party line being put out by many in the conservative media, that, well, the Republicans are not any good. So what's the alternative? There is no third party. A year ago, I called for a nationalist party. But we're talking many years away before such a nationalist party can be formulated and have any chance to win other than throw the election to the Democrat Socialist Islamists. So I'm asking you something. I want to read you something. It's page 260 of Stop the Coming Civil War. It's literally near the conclusion. We must have someone in office after 2016 who can and will issue executive orders that reverse the damage that Obama's executive orders have done. Someone who can purge every last radical Obama appointee. We must find a way to replace them, not with Republican knee-jerkers, but with traditionalists and nationalists if we are to save the nation. Americans are crying for a return to patriotism and nationalism, the same kind of national pride we once had in this country. And then if you go to the end of the book, I say our only chance here is to elect Republicans in the place of Democrats. Well, I stand by my words. The Obama administration doesn't know Ebola from Shinola. And I've urged the Obama and the CDC chief to emulate African nations and restrict travel for weeks now. You know that. I've been leading the pack on this Ebola situation. And incidentally, just because the media has brushed it aside to cover up for Obama, the epidemic is worse, not better. Ask the Africans involved with it. And Obama's open borders policy is guaranteed to make the epidemic worse here. If you think that's bad, from our very successful president. This came out today and your hair is going to stand up. I try to warn you, but the Obama administration is quietly preparing a surge of millions of new immigrant IDs. You heard me. A draft solicitation for bids issued by U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services says that potential vendors must be capable of handling a surge scenario of 9 million ID cards to support future immigration reform initiative requirements. This means Obama is planning to go around Congress and the American people and flood America with third worlders. Third worlders! You know they'll never become Americans. You know they're only being brought in order to build up the welfare state and pump up the Democrat, socialist, Islamist base. How much more can we take of this guy? You think that's bad? New York Times are reporting today that Obama is going to bypass Congress on the easing of sanctions against Iran. You heard me. He's going to bypass Congress on the easing of sanctions against Iran over its nuclear program. And yet, supporters of Israel continue to vote for Democrats. How in the world does this happen? How? In the middle of all of this, I'll read you an email, a personal email. Michael Savage, I still cannot get your book, Stop the Coming Civil War, in paper form. He said, I can't get a paper version. I've given up in Northern Virginia because they're not selling it. Three places said they could order it, but delivery would take a long time, possibly after the election. Michael, they're banning your book. It's the same as burning your book by not allowing the public to take their hard-earned money and engage in commerce and buy a product you offer. This has to be a violation of interstate commerce laws. Well, I'm sure it is, but what laws are you referring to? The laws that once existed in America before Obama, B.O.? Laws in America, B.O., and laws in America, A.O., Anno Domini and Anno Obama. It's a joke in one way, but not a joke in another. Now, let me look at michaelsavage.com before I sign off. I want to give you some positive news, okay? Here's some positive news. Obama delayed his entire agenda until after the midterms. Why? He's toxic. So right after the Democrats get thrown out, the dictator will push through his agenda. He has to be stopped. He has to be impeached. Stop the coming civil war. Listen to me. You want to hear something? Listen to me. Obama's secret plans are exposed and stop the coming civil war. My book is a must for every concerned American. You have one choice. Either ignore the book, buy the book, and read the book, or pretend by putting your head in the sand. And remember, they don't know Ebola from Shinola. This is Michael Savage saying good night and God bless America.